In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for this morning's sermon is the gospel appointed for this Sunday of Misericordias Domini, the gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus says to his disciples, I am the good shepherd. This is one of many so-called I am sayings in the gospel according to St. John. I am the door, I am the rock, I am the way and the truth and the life, and so on. We hear Jesus laying claim to the name of God in the Old Testament. When God said to Moses from the burning bush, I am that I am. Tell them, I am has sent you to them. Jesus is true God, the true I am of the Old Testament. That I am is usually translated Lord in the Old Testament. So when King David says, the Lord is my shepherd, that would literally be the I am is my shepherd. So Jesus' statement, I am the good shepherd, even more clearly corresponds to the words of the 23rd Psalm. He is the Lord of the Old Testament. The one who comes so that goodness and mercy may follow you all the days of your life, and so that you may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You are the sheep. Some of you may have been raised in places where sheep outnumber people, but most of you were not. Certainly this was not the case in the suburb of Los Angeles where I grew up. So do let us take note of a couple important points about sheep, points that I wouldn't, and I assume many of you wouldn't, have known just growing up. Number one, sheep have no natural defenses. Their horns, their claws, their teeth, etc., all of these are pretty much useless, especially if they find themselves tangling with a wolf. They can't run very fast. If they roll over on their backs, they can't right themselves. The comparison just keeps getting more flattering. They aren't very bright, and they certainly aren't legendary for being independent thinkers. If the lead sheep does something, even something pretty stupid, most of the rest of the flock will follow, quite mindlessly. Predators are a reality, so the more diligent a shepherd is about protecting the sheep, the better off they are, especially considering that they can't really do anything to protect themselves. Now, in our text this morning, Jesus isn't undertaking to give city folk a lesson in animal husbandry. In fact, the people that first heard him, they didn't need to be told how sheep are. They knew. Sheep made good metaphors for people. Against predators like sin, death, and the devil, we really can't do anything to defend ourselves. We need Jesus, our good shepherd, to defend and protect and deliver us. Now, there are two sources of trouble Jesus warns us against this morning. And if the one who died on the cross so that we could go to heaven gives us a warning, then we can be absolutely confident that it is a necessary warning and that we would do well to heed it. The first warning is against the wolves, those who would kill you. And since the issue here is Jesus' salvation of the sheep, clearly he is warning us not against threats to the body, but against those who would threaten the soul. In other words, false prophets. This is a point so at odds with the culture in which we live that it bears constant repeating. Our society would have us convinced that it really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're a quote-unquote good person. And their definition of a good person, well, number one, it's entirely informed by the second table of the law. It's not a matter of how you treat God. It's just a matter of how you treat other people. And it is, of course, a moving target. What was acceptable 20 years ago is now viewed in secular morality as though it were a sin today. But what they're aiming at is someone who doesn't steal, doesn't kill, doesn't throw wild rock and roll parties next door until 3 in the morning. Someone who mows their lawn and takes care of their kids and so on and so forth. I know plenty of non-believers and very nominal Christians who do all of that. Some do it even better than some of the Lutherans I know. But know this, and know it well. Jesus knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. And people can have perfect lawns and still face everlasting condemnation when they die because they didn't know Jesus and Jesus didn't know them. Outright violations of the second table of the law, and even more generally, just being inconsiderate of our neighbors. These things are sins, and we must, by all means, repent of them. But if we would hear the voice of the Good Shepherd declaring our sins to be forgiven, then we had better know his voice. Wrong actions can be forgiven. Wrong faith cuts us off from the source of forgiveness. Different religions for a Christian are not just another way of looking at things any more than for a sheep, a wolf is just another warm, cuddly, fuzzy life form. False religion will turn you deaf to the voice of Jesus. So learn the virtue of discernment. Turn away from that which is not of the Lord. Now, many of you have been taught since you were children right from wrong, truth from error. And you've been taught that holding and maintaining the right faith matters. But some of us have learned, perhaps we have even been taught quite inconsistently by those who taught us the Christian faith, a completely contrary doctrine. We've been taught that it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you play nice. Some of us learned not only that kindness matters, some of us have been taught the false doctrine that kindness is all that matters. For the sake of our own salvation and for that of others, we must unlearn that. How will we ever become forceful witnesses to the salvation that we have been given by grace through faith in Christ, if we believe, whether consciously or subconsciously, that not upsetting people is more important than faithfully confessing this wonderful gift that we've been given, this gift of salvation by grace through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? If we believe that, we dare not treat it like it doesn't really matter. The truth of Holy Scripture matters. All of it. Believe this. Speak like this. Act like this. Now, there is a second danger to which our Lord alerts us. And that is the danger of entrusting our salvation to hired hands instead of to the Good Shepherd. It is no mere coincidence, by the way, that the Latin word for shepherd is pastor. A good pastor is a faithful under-shepherd of the Good Shepherd. A hired hand acts quite unlike the Good Shepherd. And the way you tell the difference, at least the way that gets mentioned in this morning's gospel, is that the Good Shepherd, and so therefore his faithful under-shepherds, the Good Shepherd and his under-shepherds stand up to the wolves. It has been a great joy in this last week to be in the company of a dozen and a half such faithful under-shepherds, listening to one another and encouraging each other to such faithfulness. These men all know that they are more than just hired hands. Hired hands abandon their sheep to the wolves because they don't care about the eternal life of their sheep. They may not even believe in it. And sadly, the Holy Christian Church is riddled with many such hirelings. Sheep, struggling as we do with being sinner saints sometimes prefer a hired hand to a faithful shepherd. They may have an attitude that says, "Ah, come on. We like this particular flavor of grass. Can't we please pretend that the wolf isn't out there and just keep grazing here?" Or that particular wolf's teeth don't look all that sharp to me. And because they don't appreciate the magnitude of the danger, they make it all the harder for faithful shepherds to defend them. But on the other side of the coin, the hired hand just lets the wolves come. They let the false doctrine come in and ravish the sheep, and they do little or nothing to stop it. So mark this. By this you will know a faithless pastor, if he is more interested in keeping you comfortable and content than he is in protecting you from the very real dangers that might threaten the gift of eternal life. I know what it's like to see people sneer in contempt at me and storm out of the sanctuary in anger because we practiced closed communion and I would not commune them. I have seen people forsake the faith for which they promised to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it, because they entered into a relationship with someone who did not share that faith, what the Bible calls being unequally yoked, or because a relationship with someone who does share the faith fell apart. I've had the experience of seeing people turn away from this congregation and go to others because they offered a musical flavor more to their liking. No pastor likes dealing with that kind of stuff. But a hired hand doesn't get confrontational with the wolves that would come in and harm you. The faithful under-shepherd, if he really would be faithful, has no choice but to stand up to the wolves, even when that bothers some of the sheep. Pastors, of course, are also sheep. We too need the good shepherd's shepherding. And they, like you, need to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd declaring their sins forgiven. We all carry out our vocations imperfectly. We are all by nature, black sheep, sinful and unclean. And our sin would destroy us. It is the most vicious wolf we face. But that is where we hear the good news in the words of the Good Shepherd this morning. I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again, this command I receive from the Father. What command? The command to lay down his life and to take it up again. Our good shepherd has kept that command of the Father, just as he has perfectly fulfilled the will of the Father in all ways. He laid down his life on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. Nor was this a matter of the situation getting out of control. He willed to lay down his life for us, so to redeem us and give us eternal life. He willed to satisfy the demands of divine justice in our behalf, so that it would not be required of us to do so. And oh, what unspeakable joy he has exercised his authority to take his life up